Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. They are the best in the business. They make sure you're fully covered. They do everything to save you money. Update policies. They're the pros' pros. Just good people, too. Just good people who are great at their jobs. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory, and a fabulous service department from routine to inspections to diagnostics. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Our play-by-play call of the day, the Celtics defy conventional wisdom and beat the Nets.
Use it here. Brown the drive. Jaylen Brown kicks it out. Smart fakes. Inside. Tatum spins and he puts it in. Celtics go up by one.
That's outstanding.
They count it. They count it. It's over.
Let's look at the possession. He could very well elevate here. Realizes he has the time. Is patient. Gets into the seams. Delivers the on-point pass to Tatum. And he gets it off in the nick of time.
The outstanding Mike Breen and also Mark Jackson. Jeff Van Gundy was there as well, but they made the call. The Celtics changed defensively, confused Kyrie Irving, confused the Nets. They missed the shot, got the rebound, didn't call timeout, got everything into a scramble mode, and three veterans who have played together for a long time, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum, made it happen. They won the game, 115 to 114 over the next yesterday in game one. Sixers will play tonight. All that Raptors gear I sent over, I said, Lisa, it'd be okay for the youngsters to wear it tonight. No? Not right? Not good?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Yeah, that's where they went.
Last time I checked, between the two franchises, one has won a championship in this century. It wouldn't be the Sixers. You guys have gone 40 years since your last title.
Yeah. Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, the Nets are Raptors are 3 years removed. All right. So okay, it's 340. What does it matter? Doesn't matter. Yeah. All right. Let me get into something final half hour. Did you see Tyrese Hunter, the freshman point guard from Iowa State, the Big Ten freshman of the year, is now in the transfer portal?
I did not. Wow.
He committed to Iowa State when Steve Prohm was the head coach. But when T.J. Olsenberger took over, he reaffirmed his commitment. He stayed. Now, they played 35 games this year. How many games do you think Hunter started this year?
I'm going to say not many if he's in the transfer portal.
Started all 35. Okay. He averaged 11 points, 3.5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals per game. Okay. He ranked in the top 3 in the Big 12 in both assists and steals. Against LSU in the opening round, he had 5 steals and made 7 3-pointers. He had 13.7 assists, 3 steals in the loss to Miami. Now, from 30,000 feet, I'm asking myself, exactly what is the problem here? It sounds like you're getting shots, you're playing, you start every game. I am confused.
I think what you're seeing here is what's the issue with the transfer portal. Actually, I don't think. I know this is the reason why the transfer portal has the issues that it has right now.
Well, it's one of the things we're going to talk about in the next half hour, to a point. Let's get to Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle. My friend, welcome. Always great to have you with us.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing great.
And you have your snow shovel ready?
Yeah, I've got snow blower, and then later in the week I get to use my my lawnmower.
Wow, isn't that something?
Unreal. It really is. All right, so here we are. Mm-hmm. Get to the blue-white game. By the time we get there, the weather's going to be nice. If they can get 50 to 70,000 people out, and, being a nice day, what kind of statement does that usually make about Penn State football in your mind when you see that?
No, I think it shows that Penn State football has a very, very loyal following. If they draw 50 to 70,000 people somewhere in that ballpark, and I think a lot of it also hinges on weather, as you mentioned. The forecast for Saturday looks good. But, I think that has a lot to do with the loyalty of the fans to the program.
All right, so what are you going to be interested in right away? You're going to go through with your check which boxes you want to take a long look at.
Well, I'm not hiding my hometown allegiance. I'm the first and foremost is seeing Nick Singleton.
Yep.
No matter how much plays. I'm really interested in seeing that. I'm also interested in seeing the younger receivers in Caden Saunders and Omari Evans, and also Mitchell Tinsley, because obviously I haven't been able to see him yet. And then the middle linebackers. The middle linebacker competition between Tyre Elsden and Kobe King. And so they're the three things that jump out for me. You know, there are people that are going to be on this team that aren't enrolled yet, such as is it Demion Robinson? I don't want to mispronounce.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, who obviously will add a lot on the edge as an edge rusher. And the other thing, yeah, Deese Isaac. If he plays Saturday, and that's not clear yet, but if he does play, I'm interested to see how he does.
Yeah, it's obviously when you look at the young running backs, Singleton, Catron Allen would be another one as well. What about some of the quote veteran players that would be going into their second year of play, like a Kalen King, believe it or not, is now a veteran.
Yeah.
Akeem Beeman is back out there. Mm-hmm. Players like that, in terms of player development, what are you looking for there?
Well, it's hard to draw a lot of conclusions off a spring game or spring scrimmage, however you look at it, but you want to see effort. Like, I remember last spring game, Arnold Ebikidi, you knew right away, well, this guy's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And that stood out to me, I remember, a year ago. And I'll watch, maybe I won't, other than the obviously Singleton and a couple of the other guys I mentioned, I won't necessarily watch anybody in particular, but if a guy like Hakeem Beeman, and I know Kalen King has had a very good spring practice, if they do something to jump out, well then, that's obviously noteworthy. I mean, Kalen King, obviously, he had a very good blue-white game last year with two interceptions as a true freshman. So, yeah, I'll be watching. Just kind of keep my eyes and ears open, and just like you, and see. You really look for effort too. That's the one thing that I look for in the blue white game, because a lot of guys, they could mail it in, and that hasn't happened much over my time covering Penn State. But I do think you look for effort, and if guys really put out, then that tells me something about them.
How often did you get a chance to see Nick Singleton actually play in person in high school? Because you're covering so much Penn State football. So how often did you actually get a chance to see him?
Well, before last season, I didn't see him at all because I didn't cover. I rarely covered high school football games.
Right.
We had more staff reductions, so I covered a lot more high school football games last year. And there were two guys who stood out in my mind, and I saw him, and I saw Nick Singleton play once against Cocalico, and it was the night he set the Berks County career rushing record. And instantaneously, you didn't have to tell me, oh, that's Nick Singleton. You knew he was different. Yeah, he just flew by a good Cocalico team. He was very impressive. Patience. He didn't carry the ball a lot because they rolled up a big number on Cocalico, and Cocalico had a winning record. It was really a very, very dominating win. But he was impressive. But what impresses me more about Nick Singleton, I've interviewed him in person multiple times, and just last month down at the Maxwell Club press conference before the dinner, he's a very impressive young man, and he comes from a very good family, good people, and he's not a braggart. He's very dedicated and committed to being the best football player he can be. That's his focus. He doesn't think about much else, but he carries himself in a really good way. The other guy I saw, and I saw him more, I think I saw him three times, was Javen Williams, who's a commit in the 23 class from Wyomissing, offensive lineman. I saw him against Pottsville, Southern Columbia, and then in the state final against Central, and he is impressive. He's a very impressive player, as offensive tackle. And he's only a junior at Wyomissing, but he's somebody to keep an eye on. And a very mature young man, Steve. I don't know if you heard the story. What he told our sports editor, I think I was out of Penn State. I was doing something. I was covering something else. And our sports editor, Brian Smith, wrote the story about him. And he asked him why Penn State. He said, I knew. And he said, I didn't visit anywhere else. I called the other schools. I didn't want to waste their time. Now, where do you hear that? How often do you hear that from a high school junior? Yeah. I didn't want to waste the other kids' time, or the other school's time, because usually, you know, these kids, they want to take four or five visits. And I like what I have seen from him.
There will be another theme, obviously. This will be the first time that fans and media, you know, we'll get a chance in this kind of setting to see Bo Prabula and Drew Aller.
Also true.
To then go with, by the way, the improvement of a Christian Veiu. Mm-hmm. So what do you look for? I mean, it's a day. It's a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. So what do you usually take from watching young quarterbacks really for the first time?
Well, I will go back to the Rutgers game last year where you mentioned Christian Veiu.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that struck me more than anything, forget the numbers, it was the way he looked in the pocket and looked running the offense. He played with, to me, an amazing amount of poise considering he hadn't played a football game in 2 years. And that struck me, and I'm sure many others, not just me, but that was impressive to me. And so that's what I'll look for from Prabula and Aller on Saturday, is not necessarily their completion percentage or maybe their speed or anything like that. How do they comport themselves? I mean, we're, you know, obviously I'm 200 feet up or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But you could still see, you know, you could see, like, okay, how, you know, are they panicking? Do they look comfortable in the pocket? And if they do at such an early age, well, that portends to good things for Penn State and for them.
You can also, even from 200 feet, sense command, too.
Yes, command. Absolutely, Steve. Absolutely.
And you can see that. It's something that, you know, when you're there, you can see it along the way.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the talent on the roster, and, of course, there's still more talent coming in, as you pointed out, Robinson, Dennis Denai Sutton, people like that.
Yeah.
Coming into the into the program. Do they have the talent, in your opinion, that can that can do some things during the course of the season. I mean, it's, to sit here and predict what that is, you know, we'll have to wait and see and watch it play out. But do they have the talent to do some things to get some people excited this year?
Steve, are you talking about Robinson and...
I'm talking about the overall team, not just the specific guy.
Well, you know, it's hard to say. It's hard to, you know, because it's... I don't want to say it's an intramural game, but it's an intra-squad game. So it's hard to say. You could tell, though, in some cases, you know, a guy who makes very good plays and shows a lot of talent. But to say, to sit there and watch a spring game, I remember the one year, of course, I've been, like you, I've been doing this for a long time, and I remember one year somebody in the media said, they're going to have a losing season. This is in the press box, quiet, you know, privately.
Right, sure.
And I think Penn State might have been 11-1 that year.
Right.
But because they didn't look good. Well, it's a practice. You know, it's a scrimmage.
Yeah.
So I don't draw a lot of conclusions. But you can tell certain individuals if they're talented or not by watching them, you know, in that setting.
Here comes a very open-ended question. But, you know, I related a story about Jordan Spieth, how he went back yesterday, as he had promised the youngsters. He had promised them before the playoff, I will come back and sign everything. And then he goes off to practice, and it turned out there was a playoff. He ended up winning, went through the ceremony, and then did go back.
Yep.
To his credit. With everything that's going on in sports, and now let's keep it on college sports for a moment, with NIL, the portal, and so forth. Is there any, when you talk to fans, are they comfortable with the college experience the way it is with NIL? Are they comfortable with the experience of the transfer portal and so forth? Or is it something that if college sports isn't careful about getting some parameters around it, they might lose some fans?
I don't know if they'll lose fans, but do I think that do they like the transfer portal and name, image, and likeness? Let's start with the transfer portal first. I think it depends on who you lose and who you get.
Yes, well, that's true. Exactly.
I think that's what, from a fan's perspective.
Right.
Okay? I think the name, image, and likeness, I don't think fans have been able to wrap their head around it yet.
Right.
That's my opinion. You and I know how it's going to change the way amateur athletics is played and in this country. At the college level, and I don't think many people are really interested in it as fans.
Right.
I don't.
Right.
And I think they should be, you know, because of what's going on now. I do understand where Nick Saban is coming from,
mm-hmm.
and I understand where Sean Clifford is coming from, who said last week, you know, you got to be careful that this strictly just doesn't become pay to play.
Right.
And I think there is a concern there. But I think the NCAA, I don't see anything changing that. I don't know if they're gonna, you know, put up much of a fight because they lost the court case. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. But yeah, I don't think fans, I don't know if you feel that way. I don't think the casual college football fan, I don't think they could wrap their head around NIL.
I hear some people, quote, complain about it, but it's not keeping them away from it.
No, I don't.
Right. That's not happening. What I find interesting, and this is something where it's very difficult to document. So this is difficult to document because you don't know what people are doing privately with their money. But I'm wondering over the next 4 or 5 years with the proliferation of more gambling dollars, I don't care if you're putting $25 in a game, $100, or $5,000, whatever, the winning and losing, or even winning but not covering, is going to bring with it more bitter opinions.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, I know... I probably have talked on this show. You know, my father was a gambler.
Yes, I know.
And,
yep.
And you know, it was completely different then. And I don't know. You know, he would dislike certain players, certain athletes, different sports, or certain teams because they lost when he bet on them.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could see. Oh, I could see that absolutely. I mean, I think if let's not even say Penn State. Let's just say it's the Green Bay Packers. And you have people betting on the Packers. Let's say this year they go 10-7 instead of 13-4. Okay. Well, those the people who are betting on the Packers are going to be upset, and they're going to be mad at Matt LaFleur and mad at Aaron Rodgers and whoever. And yeah, and instead of just looking at it realistically, just being a fan. Okay, this is, you know, you can be critical, but now I've got a financial interest in this, and now I'm upset because you didn't cover. You know, you were favored by 6.5 or 7 points, and you won by 4.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could see that.
Oh, you won the game.
Yeah.
See, that's the point.
You won
the game. I'll never forget. I'm going back to, I don't know, 85, 86. Bruce Arians is the coach at Temple. Paul Palmer's the running back.
Mm-hmm.
John Schaefer's quarterback in Penn State. Penn State's a 7-point favorite.
Mm-hmm.
They're up 27-25, marching downfield, ding, 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 got to the 3-yard line, took 3 knees, ended the game, and people were booing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, going, what are you booing? It was a hard-fought game. They won the game. Somebody said, Penn State's a 7-point favorite. I went, for goodness sakes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And with the proliferation of gambling sites, services, however, and that the NFL is now clearly in bed with such sites, and so is Major League Baseball, and so is the NBA. I think it's only a matter of time before college football and college basketball become closely involved with those, or, you know, DraftKings or whoever, you know, from a sponsorship standpoint. I do. I think it's only a matter of time.
Yeah. Looking forward to seeing on Saturday. Should be, you know, hey, it's going to be interesting, and the weather's going to be way better than today.
Okay, so I don't need a shovel or some salt in my trunk for the ride up.
No. When it comes to shoveling it, I'll be doing that on Saturday. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. Good. Great to hear from you. Great. I look forward to seeing you Saturday.
Hey, thanks so much, Rich.
Take care.
Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle, as we tried to make this a Sixers-free half hour. Which over the years was never a problem in Philadelphia because it was part of the process. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And today's show, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business. motorcycle, boat, whatever it may be. Bundles, they'll do everything they can to make sure you're fully insured. They'll do everything they can to save you money. Trying to save money more than ever. And you want to be with the pros' pros. When you're with Purdy Insurance, your stress level goes way down. They take care of it. It's all at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Okay. Part of the Big Ten TV deal is now set. Matt, of course, has been all over this, so. No?
Oh, my almighty!
I don't take that as a no. You didn't even know I was going to do this story.
No.
The Big Ten will extend its rights deal with Fox Sports. So they're in. Now, to the level they're in, we'll see. Because they're not done yet. But Fox will definitely be a part of the deal. Between Fox, Fox Sports One, okay, they're in. Now they are negotiating for as many as one to three other packages, according to John Oren with Sports Business Journal. John reports they are negotiating with, could possibly be negotiating with Amazon, Apple, CBS, ESPN, NBC, and Turner. They are jockeying for one to three more packages. John reports that they will have this done in all likely in their entirety by Memorial Day weekend. Again, this is why last summer at the Big Ten meetings, I said, why wasn't there a single question about the TV deal? Because I knew it would be done before it was going to come up. All these questions about how you handle COVID, they're like, the heck with that. Then move on. Okay, get to something that's forward-thinking. Hey, next pandemic, he'll handle it differently. I got it. Yeah, you got no questions about the TV deal last summer. I sat back and went, you got to be. I'm sitting there like, you got to be kidding me. But Fox is going to get its part back. It's going to be an extension. No word from John as to how long it's going to be because they're not going to announce all of it until they get, or it won't start leaking out until you get to about Memorial Day weekend. But that's how far along they are. Let's face it, ESPN's got to be a player in this somewhere. Like ESPN could take up the next 80% of it, for example, and then the other 20%, maybe you get NBC or CBS or somebody like that in there. Because I think ESPN needs the Big Ten, and to be honest with you, it doesn't hurt the Big Ten to be with ESPN. You want to be a part of what that game day deal going on and on that you're part of it. The money could be off the charts. But again, Fox gets its part. That evidently has now been settled. Now it's going to be whether it's one, two, or maybe even as many as three packages that the Big Ten has. And John Oren says, hey, look, Apple, Amazon, NBC, CBS, and Turner, one or three of the five could get the other parts of it. So there you are. I know it snuck under the radar, but yeah. Matt kept pushing me the entire show to do that story. No?
Well, I mean, it is a big ratings fight happening right now because you have NBC was supposedly maybe going to be a wild card now that they have to fill some content.
Remember who owns more than half of the BTN.
Oh, right. Of course.
That's why this extension is this was the expected part. The fact that it's done. Okay, that's part of it. Right, so the fact that it's done is important. Okay. That's the key. Now it's a question of how does it fill in? Now for the Dave Jones article, PennLive.com. This has nothing to do with Penn State. Nothing. Zero. But I think it's a great article, and it speaks. There's a lot in here to really get into. And the article is entitled, "When Those Who Love to Get Paid Outnumber Those Who Love to Play, Will We Still Watch?" Suit's name is in here several times, by the way. We'll delete that. Dave writes that on Wednesday, in a New Orleans Pelicans warm-up on the eve of their NBA play-in round against the LA Clippers, a video emerged of their star, Zion Williamson, performing a 360 dunk. The latest impediment was off-season foot surgery. He has not played in the 21-22 season, but he can do 360 warm-up dunks in when nobody's allegedly watching. July injury. Williamson and the club both said he'd be ready to start the regular season. Instead, he showed up to camp grossly out of shape. Charles Barkley commented on TNT, "Somebody's got to have a grown person in that relationship walk up to him and say, 'Yo, man, you got to get in shape.'" Williamson never did. He experienced soreness in his foot in December, then left the team during midwinter to allegedly work out on his own. The Pelicans won their playoff game, and now they are facing the Phoenix Suns. Zion Williamson is not going to play. We probably won't see him play until the 22-23 season. Dave Jones writes, why? Strictly, he's not a player, he's an investment. One that is more valuable as a carrot to a hopeful New Orleans fan base than an actual competitor. Better to string along the fans through next fall rather than risk an aggravation of the foot injury in a series the Pelicans likely will not win. Williamson has made $32.2 million so far in his 3 years. He will make $11.1 million this season. He will likely be offered the max contract in excess of $34 million before the 23-24 season. Now here are the big numbers. Zion Williamson has been eligible to play 227 games in his NBA career. How many has he played? He's missed 142. As Dave writes, it's been a long time since Willis Reed in the 1970 finals. Exactly. Now, he does get into the Clayton Kershaw deal. I excused it on the show last week. I said, look, it's the timing. They go through training, they go through spring training, it was limited, started late, okay, I can see, pitch count, blah, blah, blah. I said all that. I also said if it was mid-May, I'd have a different feeling. Okay. Dave writes, he's 34 years old, he's accumulated fabulous wealth without risk of real bodily harm in the only way Major League superstars can. He has made $331 million during his previous 13 seasons. He has signed on to make $17 million more this season. The prospect of a perfect game strikes at the heart of all baseball fans and what they value most. The game's history is viewed through the lens of a statistical heritage. In 153 years and more than 218,000 contests in MLB's fully documented history, only 23 perfect games have been pitched. So it's a hallowed achievement. We remember the names of the guys that have done it. Len Barker, Mike Witt, Tom Browning all come to mind. It's not the first time, though, that Dave Roberts has pulled somebody in a perfect game. He pulled Rich Hill out 6 years ago in Miami. Hill was visibly upset in the Dodgers dugout, especially because Yasiel Puig had just saved the perfect game with a spectacular catch in the left center field gap for the 21st out. Roberts did it again on Wednesday. Took out somebody after seven innings with a perfect game, only 80 pitches. Do you care about the fans? No. Don't even need to delve into the Ben Simmons phenomenon at this point, do we? We don't really know what's wrong with him. First, he didn't want to play in front of those mean fans in Philadelphia. Then it was some sort of emotional stress. Oh, wait, now it's his back. Ever since, and Dave writes, his gag job against the Hawks in the 21 NBA playoffs, the former Sixer, now Brooklyn Net, has not been up to playing in a game. Because Simmons received an advance of half of his 21-22 salary with the Sixers, he has been paid $16.5 million to sit around. 2 weeks ago, it was reported, he's now suing the team for $20 million in the fines that he was assessed this year. During the first-round playoff game in Boston yesterday, Simmons was on the bench in street clothes and sunglasses. The excuse given is that rehab for his back is not yet complete, but nobody knows why. Then there's the Cincinnati Reds. Bob Castellini is someone that had a produce company. He had just enough money to buy the Reds. The Reds' ownership, by the way, ranks dead last among the 30 Major League Baseball franchises in net worth. So they've gone through a salary dump. They get rid of Nick Castellanos. He goes to the Phillies. Sonny Gray's gone. Jesse Winker's gone. And Eugenio Suarez gone. That will hack $70 million in payroll off the books. When a vast sector of one of the most devoted fan bases in Major League Baseball rebelled and began calling for Castellini to sell the team, his son, who's a part of the franchise, went on the flagship station at WLW and he asked why fans should have faith in the current ownership. Well, where are you going to go? Let's start there. Sell the team to who? You want to have this debate? You want to look at what you do with this team to be more profitable, make more money, compete more in the current economic system that the game exists, it would be to pick up and move it somewhere else. So be careful for what you ask for. What? Really? The point is, how about everybody just settle down and celebrate and cheer for the team? You can hate us all you want. We're not going anywhere. We haven't abandoned our commitment to winning and investing in this franchise and the community. So the point is, stay tuned and be a fan and celebrate these guys. The message is, cheer whatever we put out there, right? Otherwise, keep your mouth shut. This is the problem that we're having in sports right now. And Dave, I think, encapsulates it really well. There are a lot of options out there. I want to watch people want to play. The consumer is the single most important part of sports. Okay? No consumer, no sports. The players will tell you, no players, no sports. I can find players. I can find players. No owners, no sports. Well, there's a lot of rich people. I can find owners. But can I find enough people to watch it? Now we have an interesting question. The USFL, good crowd on Saturday night. Birmingham playing at home. Yesterday in Birmingham, Philadelphia's playing New Orleans. There had to be maybe fewer than 800 people there. Really? He talks about Willis Reed limping out there and playing somehow against the Lakers in Game 7. Apathy is the worst thing you can have in sports. And if I'm a New Orleans Pelicans fan, obviously people can excuse injuries and so forth. I got it. We all do. You have to. But my goodness, where's the commitment to getting out there and playing? Where's the commitment to getting out there as a franchise? Sixer fans are a great example. They suffered through all of this to get to finally this point. And to be honest with you, what did they reap out of the process? One critical player, which they got a long time ago, Joel Embiid. Everybody else is gone. The other people aren't there, but Joel Embiid's there. Now, over time, they've acquired guys, Tobias Harris, James Harden. Hey, but the guys acquired in the process we heard about, was Joel Embiid, who, by the way, was not the first overall pick in the draft. He was third. When they had the first overall pick in the draft, they didn't select the right guy. They could have had Jason Tatum. I'm sitting there like going, please, don't take Tatum. Don't take him. Don't take him. Oh, good. But that's what you got out of the process. One guy. One great player, but one guy for 5 years? 5 years? One guy? That's what you got for all that losing? And you're a Sixer fan. Tell me I'm wrong. That's what you got for 5 years
not at
of
all.
Losing.
You had Embiid, plus you had a whole host of disastrous first-round picks. And I'll be here all day. Markelle Fultz.
That's what I mean. That's Jason Tatum.
Exactly.
But you've got to have ownership that cares about you, the consumer. You've got to have players who can care about you, the consumer. Like busting their butt to get back. I got to get back. You got to have that Larry Bird mentality. I'm playing tonight even though I can barely move because there's a family of four up there that's never seen me play. I got to play. I've told that story, maybe 10, 11 times in the show about Bird, like being told not to play, goes out and plays. These guys are told not to play, they're great. Great. How many? I mean, come on. Got to stop. Got to have a commitment to the fans. Finally, I know we're at the end here. Jordan Spieth yesterday. Did you hear about Jordan Spieth? What he did?
Well, I know he had the big comeback.
Okay, once again, where's the show? Where's the show prep? What's going on here? Well, there's no show prep. I mean, one guy has to do all the show prep. All right. Spieth birdies the 18th hole, but he's like maybe the fifth or sixth to last group. Birdies, gets the 13 under, goes in, signs the scorecard, comes out, and there's a whole row of kids, and some adults in there, obviously, but mostly kids up front looking for his autograph. And he looks at them, and he says, hey, I'm really sorry. He says, I have to go do some warm-up work in case there's a playoff, but I promise you, no matter what, I will come back and sign everything. I promise you. Goes to the range, and he's at the range for a while because, again, he's like the fifth or sixth to last group. And Spieth ends up in a playoff because Patrick Cantlay catches him. He birdied 17. They play one hole of the playoff. They both go in the bunker. Spieth knocks his ball about 6 inches from the cup, taps and gets a par. Cantlay had the ball plugged in the bunker. Boom, blasts it out 20 feet away. Doesn't make the putt. Spieth wins. Spieth goes through the ceremony. At the Heritage, they give you a plaid jacket. And he walks over with the plaid jacket on when he's done, and guess what? Went back to the kids, as promised, and signed every autograph. All of them. Golf balls, flags, programs. He signed all of them, as he had promised an hour and a half earlier. And he apologized to everybody for making them wait. In the world of customer service, that's primo. In the world of understanding what really is the engine behind sports, the fan tells you everything. Cal Ripken Jr., by the way, was like that in Baltimore. He signed everything. Meanwhile, Shikalimi games on Friday night. Chiefs out there signing everything. Meanwhile, with his own private entrance to the press box, not to be bothered, the suit. Tomorrow, Matt McGloin on the show, along with Neil Coulong tomorrow. Let's give credit where credit's due. Matt sent me all the show prep today. It was great.
Yeah, thank you.
I cut out all the stuff about Aaron Judge, Tyrese Maxey. The Flyers. I cut all that stuff out.
Well, nobody cares about the Flyers. Even I don't.